You have such nice voices. It's beautiful. I love institutions. I particularly love this institution. One of the reasons why I love institutions is that it pulls you in to a storied past. To be part of an institution is to be part of a history of people who have gone before, leaders and servants that have passed forward to us all that we inherit. One of the reasons why I love this institution, Hope College, is that its story is filled with leaders that are giants. Giants whose shoulders each of us stands upon. Who here has never been to the Dow, or to Moss Auditorium, or to the library across the street? To enter into those facilities is to enter into our history. To enter into that history is to give thanks to particular leaders. This morning, on the eve of a service of inauguration of Hope's 12th president, I have the privilege and honor of introducing Hope's 9th president, who reigned on this college from 1972 to 1987. Among lots of other things, he's responsible for projects like the Dow, Moss Auditorium, the library. He is somebody who built up a faculty with a national and world-renowned reputation. Above all, he was a president who loved God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He was one who believes, as we believe today, that there is not a dichotomy between the classroom and the chapel, that what happens here impacts life out there. And the life out there needs to be brought in and prayed about in here. He is a man who was filled with our college motto, Hope in God. This morning, it is my distinct privilege and honor to introduce to us, back in his real home, Hope, our 9th president, Gordon Van Wylen.
Thank you, Trigg, for those kind words, and I just want to say what is a great privilege it is to participate in your chapel service this morning. It does remind me that it was about 41 years ago that my installation took place, and I've had 41 wonderful years of association with Hope College, and I thank you for this privilege of being with you on this morning. When it was announced that Dr. Knapp would become the 12th president of Hope College, I wondered whether there were some words of encouragement or counsel that I might say to him when I had an opportunity to meet him. But as I was thinking about this, I happened to read the first chapter of Colossians, and there I found a statement which expressed some of the things I wanted to say in a far better and a more elegant way than I could develop them myself. So I went in this direction, Margaret and I had a wonderful visit from Dr. and Mrs. Knapp, and we got acquainted. And so at the end, I told him of our visit, I told him this little story about finding this scripture for this occasion, and I read it to him. But then as I was asked to speak at this service today, I thought, that's the scripture I'd like to use. So now I'd like to read you this scripture and invite you to listen to it. It's from Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all his people, the faith and love that spring from hope stored up for you in heaven. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I read these verses and began to prepare for this occasion, I started down the direction of preparing a somewhat formal report that I would write out and memorize. But as I was doing this, I decided I'd feel much more comfortable simply talking to you sort of from my heart and from my mind, and to try to set before you four great truths which come to us from this these verses that I read. But just a word of background, however, Paul had never visited him personally, this church in Colossae. Rather, some of his associates had brought the gospel to Colossae. Many people responded, and soon the church was established, probably only 5 or 8 or 10 years before Paul wrote this letter to them. As new believers began to live out the faith, they realized that they were also living in a contemporary culture, which was more secular, did not share the same values and same perspective and same goals in life as those who had come to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so there a certain tension arose as to just how do you live out the Christian faith in a secular society of which you are also a part. And that has been a challenge in the church ever since. But St. Paul recognized this, and so the first thing he says in writing this letter to them is this: we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, so that through the wisdom and understanding of the Spirit, you might understand these things. The first thought, therefore, is to ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will. We're not sure of all the written resources or other resources that people had to know God's will, but it was certainly clear that this church, this congregation under leadership, had a keen understanding of what it meant to live it according to the will of God. And yet Paul says his prayer is that they would be filled more and more with this knowledge of God, so that through the Holy Spirit and the wisdom and knowledge which comes from the Holy Spirit, they'd really be prepared to live this kind of life. And so, but there's an interesting thing associated with this book of the Bible we call Colossians, because Paul goes on which is chapter 3 in our New Testaments, to outline, give us one of the best possible outlines available of what it means to live the Christian life. And I urge you sometime to turn to that third chapter and gain this insight of what Paul wrote to this church at Colossae about the Christian life. And it's interesting that this third chapter has been a great resource of the church for almost 2,000 years. That great chapter of how we are to live in this world came about in this particular situation as Paul was writing this letter. But immediately Paul goes on in this, the opening verses of this book stress the fact continually ask God to continually fill us with knowledge so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So the purpose of knowing of the will of God is not simply for knowledge. It's so that will guide us as we seek to live out the Christian faith in a contemporary society which might be quite secular. And notice the things what he says is how this is to be lived out. Live a life worthy of the Lord. I was thinking a bit about this phrase, live a life worthy of the Lord, and was thinking about something which comes about in higher education quite a bit. If someone's a graduate student aspires to become a college professor, his education almost entirely focuses on the knowledge he's going to teach. He did not take many courses in education. Sometimes you think he might have done better if he had a few. But the reality is that what professors do usually is to model their teaching after some of their best professors. I still remember the professor at MIT whose name was Asher Shapiro, and I modeled my teaching after him. And so it is, he says, you might say, I want to teach in a way that's worthy of this professor. But St. Paul says, worthy of the Lord, and here he's thinking, I think, of Jesus Christ. We want to live our lives in a way that is worthy of the Lord. And the interesting thing is, this is not a matter of do's and don'ts and documents, but it's a matter of knowing Jesus Christ, how he lived, how he expects us to live, and incorporating this into our lives in a sort of dynamic way. And then there's another wonderful little phrase in this passage, which is continually ask God for all the wisdom and that we would bear fruit in every good work. This is the phrase I was looking at, that we might bear fruit in every good work. Sometimes when I think about college, Hope College, and all the majors we offer, what an amazing different professions and fields of activities our alumni serve in. And then when you put together bearing fruit in every good work, I think of that phrase in another gospel about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if I think of our alumni being involved in all sorts of various activities in the world and applying the ideas of the fruits of the Spirit, then you can see real transformation taking place in the areas where our alumni are engaged. And so I recommend to you to put together this idea of bearing fruit in every good work and doing so with the fruits of the Spirit as our guiding principles. And then there's two other quick points to say about this wonderful passage. The third phrase which I want to call your attention to is, may you be strengthened with God's glorious power so that you may have great endurance and patience. Think of his God's glorious power. It's the power which is evident in God as creator and sustainer of the universe. The power that's evidenced in the redeeming work of Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in transforming us to become the persons that God has called us to be. And so it is that what is available to us is the great power of God to live out this kind of a life. And finally, we come to a wonderful phrase to close out this particular passage, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. Giving joyful thanks. I wondered sometimes why they asked me at this stage of life to give this talk today. But I thought it would be something of a living example of endurance. I'm here to say that I can really testify in all the various dimensions that God has given me in the 93 years I've been living. I've been fully faithful in everything that he has done. And one of the great gifts I can testify is to look back and to have enjoyed every phase of my life. Not that they were perfect. There were disappointments. Sometimes I failed. And there were also some tragedies and difficulties along the way. But to find the faithfulness of God and the trustworthiness of God as this anchor to your life is what I commend to you today. So I urge you to think about these things, about knowing the will of God, living out the faith in ways that honor God, drawing on God's power to accomplish all this, and finally, to experience the joys of life in Christ with joyful thanksgiving. So those are the thoughts which I leave with you today, and now I ask that you'll join me in a closing prayer. Loving God, we just thank you for your faithfulness that we've seen in the life of Hope College over the years, and now we thank you for bringing Dr. Knapp to Hope College to serve in this role. And we pray for your grace and blessing in his life. But I thank you for the students here who are at Hope College and see the great potential of your accomplishing your good purposes through them in the lives that they will live after their years at Hope. So we just pray that you'll bless this academic year, bless each student who's here today with the truth of your word and the joy of life in Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.